You're listening to an FX PhD podcast from fxphd.com.
Hi, and welcome to this week's FX PhD OD. Coming up on break week. How's it going, my friend?
Good, John. How are you?
Fantastic. Back in Los Angeles after shuttering the office in Chicago, as it were last week. That went well, and happy to be back and hitting the ground running working on the sysadmin course. Just a shout out to those of you who, actually almost all of you who responded to the survey, a quick four-question survey for me, and trying to help gauge the actual audience for the course so I could tailor the curriculum a bit more tightly to that. So thanks, guys, for responding to that. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. Helps significantly. Basically, I know what level you guys are, and I can be a little bit less basic moving forward for the rest of the term. So anyway, excited about that. And how's it been going with you?
Really well, yeah. No, terrific. Having lots of fun. I'm recording my week 5 background class today on audio, which Ryan in the Chicago office has been helping us with. But yes, our look at mics and audio stuff should be a lot of fun. I've got to say, John, I have learnt an enormous amount about audio, knowing nothing about it when I started, pretty much, knowing less than I thought I knew, I guess. So we're trying to put together, I thought it'd be interesting for people to see how we manage audio. There's obviously stuff we've done in the past at a more professional level in terms of what a senior sound recordist might do. This isn't that. This is what you might do yourself if you're in a position like us where you're doing your own material. We've learned a lot and got a few tricks, but we also have a good range of mics. I think it's like 10 or 12 different, completely different miking solutions, from innovative new stuff that's coming through at the low end to some super high-end stuff that we're going to be packaging up. Because as you know, in background, we sort of jump around a bit as it's a kind of magazine-style show. And so that's what's coming out this week. And then, of course, we're into break week.
Actually, there's a new thing that was announced for audio recording that's certainly timely for me, having lost one of my portable, not lost, having one of our Tascam portable audio recorders fail within the last several weeks. There's a new Zoom H6 out that looks quite fascinating, quite a little interesting audio recording device that I think would be nice to try out. Has four inputs, XLR, and phono inputs, as well as a built-in mic, or actually an interchangeable mic add-on, anything from an XY mic to a shotgun mic. It looks pretty cool. So
yeah, now that's about $400, right?
Yeah, it's a little, I've been doing recording lately directly to the 5D, and that's been quite good if you know how to work around some of the drawbacks within the preamp, the poor preamp, audio preamp, which is within, it's part of the 5D Mark III. But that looks pretty interesting, and since I'm on the market for it, it could be something to pursue, though it's a bit more expensive than the other options that we've been using.
The new Zoom, do you think the user interface has been improved?
I just in looking at it, at least the audio recording buttons and so forth look way friendlier. It looks like some dedicated keys for audio levels and so forth, which are, I'm sorry, dedicated knobs for audio levels. The UI looks a little bit better, but I hesitate to make a guess on that because it was the old Zoom was H4N, is I think the one I had before, that I frankly love to death. Had one of the worst UIs ever in a electronics device, though the good news was you didn't have to dive into it that often once you got it set up the way you needed. So I seldom dealt with it, but yeah, let's hope it is a nicer UI.
Yeah. I mean, it looks good on the pictures insofar as you say, it's got a bunch of knobs and it's kind of simpler to use in the sense that those knobs just have a bloody great record button right there. But that was the thing that was kind of annoyed me about the Zoom before, because of we have been using the Tascam, and the trouble with that is that every once in a while it just spits the dummy, and when it spits the dummy, it's almost incomprehensible why it has, what has led to that dummy spit. So I must admit, and this H6 does look interesting,
and I've never had that kind of problem with the Zoom device. I've also had a Tascam that I got tried out, and that's the one that also just immediately stopped working and had nothing but silence. So I think you, Jeff, and myself have all been through at least one Tascam in the time that I still have the lovely, albeit as you point out through your comment, horrible UI Zoom H4n. At least it's robust and reliable. And I guess in the end, that's pretty important. So
it is, though, as I think I said about this previously, my problem was I couldn't even get the bloody Zoom to record in the first place. That wasn't that I had a problem with it stopping. It was a problem that I had a problem with it starting, which is a slightly different problem. But anyway,
that is true.
But yeah, maybe it's
there is a problem with that.
Yes. Anyway, so that's going on. Another thing I want to do, if I could, just flag one of the courses that I just think has been tremendously fun. And it's been really picking up steam, which is the Animation 102 course. I think it's 102, yeah. Which has just been brilliant. Now, I got to preview the classes. They came out, I think this last one came out yesterday. But, for example, in the fifth class, I'm going to say, we're up to the stage where Lucas is working on facial animation, in this particular case of the tree. So if you don't know the course very well, he's putting together a short film, has a couple of, well, maybe three characters, if you want to call them that. One that's got no face, one that has a face but no body, one that has a body but no... It sounds very contrived, but it's basically about a tree, a boy and a balloon. And it is just a delight to watch. But what's really interesting for me, and I always find this to be the case with anything that is worthwhile, is you're looking at it and you're saying, that doesn't look very good. That doesn't look very good. I don't think this is very good. Oh my God, that's so good. And he, in class five, spends an enormous amount of time on blinks. And as I commented in the forums, it's like, oh my God, I just want to get this model and just play with blinks. And of course, I've been completely aware of the power of blinking in animation since, you know, I did stop frame animation years and years ago. But he just does such a great description of not only how he's rigged up the actual character, in this case the tree, for the blinks, but then just a lot further in terms of just, you know, timing of blinks, whether the top eyelids or the bottoms, what expression. And what's so great about it is he goes, so I would normally do this because this implies this, though in this particular case, it's not doing that because of these reasons. So he's like breaks his own rules almost instantly, but not in a way of being inconsistent, but more in a way of going, okay, so if that's the kind of rule, which I always follow, like three down, two up or whatever it is, then I'm going to do it differently here because I'm trying to imply this, or I'm going to keep the blink longer because I want to have that internalized thought of joy. And because the character has no arms, effectively no body, it's just a facial rig, and it's not a super elaborate facial rig at that. You know, he's getting an enormous amount of expression just out of these eyelids and eyes. Anyway, it's just been a joy to watch. Also, in that course, he's giving out various assets. In this particular case, he's giving out the tree and stuff, which is from XSI, which is where he happens to be. Though in the forums, it's great fun, John, because people are doing it in Max and in Modo and other stuff. And then people are reposting as they convert assets and do stuff. And I've got to say, I've been following along in Modo. So it's just been way heaps of fun. So clearly in that course, when it started out, it was like, well, let's come up with an idea. And now we're getting into the meat of it. It's just, I mean, look, it's just spectacular. And having come as it does on the heels of that SIGGRAPH panel, which is now online if anyone wants to watch it, where all the major, or not all, but a bunch of, like half a dozen, if not eight, major animated feature film directors all had a panel at SIGGRAPH. It's terrific. It's just, you know, just feels like this is the month of character animation.
Yeah, really fantastic course. I've been doing kind of auditing that as well. I've been quite busy and been able to keep up on all the courses in that, but yeah, I love, I mean, I think he's just a great teacher.
He is,
yeah. I think he makes it really interesting. You learn a lot from him, but I think key to that is getting you inspired to want to try that yourself. And I think you're seeing that, as you say, in the results in the forums of people trying it out.
Yeah, no, completely. So that's been just really, really entertaining and interesting. And I mean, it's hard, isn't it? Because you know, you've got to basically sign on to a course when you've only seen two classes often. And you just hope that it's going to get somewhere. And certainly in the case of a course like this, even for us, as John and I, like obviously you're privy to what's going on and the plans, the classes aren't recorded yet. So even with the best will in the world, you know, you hope that it's all going to come together the way that you expect. But sometimes, like with this course, it comes together even better than you imagined, which is just a joy. So yeah, so Luke's doing a great job there in that animation course. And I've got to say, it's a 100-level course, but I mean, it's a fairly splitting of the hairs, because in some senses it's just a genius kind of insight into advanced thought processes behind animation. You know, in other words, like sort of the sentiment, as it were, that can cause a character to have this or that emotion, which I would rate much higher than just a 100 level kind of course. But yeah, it's great.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Excuse me.
So one of the other things that I should touch on, just on the basis of, or the back of that other comment, which is the Nuke course, the 300 level course. So here's a course where we've got a bit of a course correction inside the course. We've decided to, Alex, who's running the course in conjunction with you guys in the forums, have decided to swing a bit more towards him having involvement in reviewing work that people are doing, given it's a 300 level course. So he has some shots that are specifically from a project, one of which he's given out the assets for this week, and we're delaying class 5 into break week to give everybody a chance, because class 4 was slightly late as we started this process of rejigging stuff. So 4 was delayed a bit to give you time to then take the assets from class 4, start putting stuff together so that he can respond and give you very high-level critiques and stuff in class 5. We're just moving class 5 into break week. Now, class 6 will come out then in week 6 and we're all back on track again. But it seemed pointless to stick to the schedule and then deny people the chance to actually over a weekend maybe get those files and do some work with them and then feed them back into... And I had this problem myself, and somebody pointed this out in the forums, in that I posted a challenge a while ago. It was like really hard. People didn't have enough time to do it, and they kind of felt defeated. So we're trying to learn from that lesson, make sure there is enough time for people to get feedback in. If you're in that 300-level course, I just really recommend that you do some stuff and get it to Alex. Alex, being a senior compositor and very experienced with large teams, is going to, I'm sure, produce really good critiques, and it'll be very valuable hearing him explain what I would do to the work that you've done as FXPHD members to take it to like high-end feature film level. And that's, of course, what we promised in the course in the first place. So a different way of getting to the same target, but I'm pretty enthusiastic about where this is now heading. And again, thanks to everybody in the forums that's been constructively working with Alex to get that to be where we want it to be.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the great things about PhD that we've been able to do, and we've been trying to do more and more in recent terms, and that's reactive feedback to making sure we're hitting the mark. We've done midterm surveys and things like that, but again, I think that's part of the benefit of having the kind of community involvement and the live real-time delivery of classes and things like that in FXPhD that allows us to do that and help things out or change things if we need to. So again, I think it's really good constructive feedback from you guys on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Excuse me. Yes. Yes, it's been obviously pretty busy. SIDGRAPH was fairly disruptive in one sense, though terrific in another. We got a lot of really good material out of SIDGRAPH that'll be rolling out in the coming weeks. I don't know if we spoke, John. I posted a bunch of stuff in one of background class, I'm going to say... 3 or 4, which was from SIDGRAPH, where we must have been class 3, where 4, where we spoke about remote learning, remote working. So, in other words, people who were in the forums had asked me, you know, how viable is it to work remotely for a company? How, what are the sort of the tricks and stuff about doing that? And so, instead of just again, me just producing something or not taking advantage of this sort of interactive thing, we said, okay, great, let's do that. We'll go to SIDGRAPH and we'll ask everyone there, specifically in companies, you know, hey, what do you do and how do you work with people remotely? Do you work with people remotely? Why would you or wouldn't you hire someone to work remotely in your team? And we got some phenomenally interesting answers. And so that was all together in one of the backgrounds. God, I'm just spacing which number that was, but it was either 3 or 4. Yeah, and there was good reaction to that in the forum, especially from some people like Nick, who actually set up a whole company. Nick's a long-time PhD member, set up a company that does work remotely. He said himself in the forums when he first started, that was a big sell, and now it's much more, you know, reasonable in terms of people just accepting doing that and thinking that's a reasonable way to work. But yeah, it was good.
It's interesting the variety of responses, too, of people and their willingness to do that at different facilities.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's funny because I think I'm like most people in that sometimes I think I know something because I looked at it pretty hard a year or two ago. And literally in the case of the working remotely thing, I think it really has shifted in the last 3 years dramatically. So it was good for me to get a reality check of speaking to people in production as to whether it was likely or not to happen and what would cause somebody to feel comfortable with hiring someone in that situation. And look, it's not an infinite sample. Obviously, we only spoke to maybe 20 or offline. I spoke to another 10, so maybe that's 30 people in total. But it's a good sample of people we really trust in the industry.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, obviously also technological changes have taken place too, and collaborative type tools and workflow and sharing of documents and stuff that frankly were non-existent 3 years ago or at a very early stages of development, and therefore very green. So you have these two things happening, but it's still quite interesting that many things end up simply to be interpersonal relation issues and basic communication issues versus technical hurdles.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's quite interesting from my standpoint because, I mean, we certainly have a lot of things from, we've been utilizing a private chat service for us in Chicago, and I was actually going to spin that to you, Mike. I haven't talked about that, but it's based upon a 37 Signals campfire, but it's just a chat room. And if you're like me, you have these chat services and they can be real time wasters because you have people pinging you all the time.
Yep.
Whether it's on Skype or Instant Messenger, something like that. But this is just private for the three of us and has a shared history of everything that we talk about in a searchable database online on the website. Of course, many applications also keep chat transcripts as well, but we found it's really useful for going back and making sure we keep track of information and communication. At times better than email, actually, for just talking real time.
Plus, it's always helpful when your NSA comes knocking, wanting transcripts of what you've been talking about.
Yes, exactly.
Got a good record of that for them. That's good.
Exactly.
I know you Americans like to keep track of everything.
It's being shared anyway.
Keep track of me. People. Keep track of everything around the world.
Next time you come in the country, Mike, I'm sure they'll be bring up something from the DOD.
Yep, they'll be Seymour, DOD, full body cavity search. What?
You said you liked it in a chat with John the other day.
What?
Anyway. Anyway, so there, again, it seems less and less about some of the technological hurdles. I actually, it was interesting because I was along in some of the discussions, some of the interviews at Seagraph regarding this, and I basically found myself continually nodding behind the camera as people were talking. So.
Yeah, that's true. Look, it's some stuff you obviously, but the things I hadn't, like, it just caught me slightly off guard. I mean, here's an odd one, but like the number of times people have said to me, what's a good entry way to get into a facility, blah, blah, blah. And then sometimes they've said, oh, I'm, you know, like a TD, and I didn't have any particular insight as to, you know, good ways to get into that. But one of the ones that caught me, I mean, as soon as it said it, I was like, oh, that's obvious, is Rob Brenner was like, yeah, we often hire our technical people and our R&D staff from the open source community that is contributing to our open source stuff. And I went, well, of course you would, right? Here's somebody that's contributing in a forum. You can see what the quality of their technical work is like. You can understand how they take criticism, compliments, you know, critiques, etc. Whether or not they're quick to respond or work well in teams or whether, in fact, they're kind of nasty. And you can see the kind of reliability of, you know, getting back to you over stuff. And you know that they can work remotely because they've been doing it, you know, via the contribution of checking stuff in and out of the open source stuff. And so you go, well, of course, that's just, you know, and that would be, as it is, somewhere that Sony hires from. And I was like, oh my God, that's, of course, that's just classic.
Yeah, that was exactly. And you got to figure in the back end, if you're going to pay them, they're going to bring more out of them. At least one would hope so.
Yeah. So yeah,
that was a fascinating comment by Rob.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I then thought about it and thought, well, not only is that the case from Rob, who I trust immensely as CTO of Sony, but you and I, you know, have done an enormous amount over the years in various beta forums and stuff. And it is true. You gain a real kind of feeling for someone, even though you may not know what they look like and what their coffee preferences are. You may never meet them, but you get a kind of real sense of their online persona from, you know, how they contribute to bugs, their reaction to people saying things, whether or not they fill out kind of sensible, you can follow it, logical bug reports, or just say, this thing sucks, does not work, me hate, Thor angry, Hulk angry.
Hulk angry.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And yeah, and so, you know, I know back in the day, it's not recently, of course, but I was actually offered jobs from just contributing in beta groups and people saying, you know, we'd love you to do stuff. So yeah, that is a really interesting way of both getting in the door at a place that would otherwise seem impenetrable, getting well known and knowing and connecting with people that are really senior in a technical team, and also proving you can work remotely. So again, one of those benefits from bothering to take the advice of or take the opportunity presented by members requesting stuff in the forums and then learning something myself.
It's also a good lesson to know that you're always being judged. And I don't mean judged, but evaluated. Judging can be a negative connotation, but in your interaction with people.
Yeah, you're setting up basically a, I think I like to say, like a persona. That mm-hmm. you know, it's just your personality online, and you just can't walk away from that. And it is really quite interesting how much that affects someone's view of you. But look, you know, it's not the only way to get in, but it's just an interesting and original one that I hadn't thought of.
Yes. Yeah, very true. Very interesting. Well, hey, my friend, I'm sorry I need to cut this a bit short this week, but I am under the pressures to get caught up in my classes.
Really? I'm not.
Having been working with others to get caught up on theirs, I need to give a little love to my own class courses. On my own course, I guess you could say.
I got nothing to do. You got anything to do? I'm bored. I might go home early. I'm going to see a film.
You're not even... Yes.
8:55 a.m. I think I'll look.
No, the DOD was the first and only thing on your schedule today.
I am joking. okay, guys, thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate you guys posting stuff. We are at that point in the term where we already have, of course, but we are assessing courses for next term. So I'd just like to repeat something we say often around this time. If you have ideas, things that you're interested in seeing inside PhD, post them in that mega thread on FXPhD's forums about courses I'd like to see. We really pay attention to that, but now is a formulative time for us putting those courses together. And if we have the choice of two or three courses, maybe your comment in the forums would tip the scales one way or another. So we'd love to hear from you. Please post in the forums, specifically in that courses I'd like to see mega thread, biggest thread ever in FXPhD.
Yes. And it's one we definitely do listen to and pay attention to. So, hey guys, thanks as always for being a part of FXPhD. And we'll talk to you in a couple weeks in week number 6. See ya.
See ya.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FXPhD.